Brothers and sisters, I must tell you that it feels as if I've just come from a different world. For a full month, I didn't speak a word of English. And I had the privilege, I took some time during the past week, and I added it up. I saw more than 100 of our ex-parishioners, dear friends, across South Africa, who were part of one or other church that Tink and I served during the years while we were still there. And I cannot begin to tell you the depth of experience. No, it is not all superficial. There were many tearful discussions as well. A young bride many years ago tried to explain to me under bitter tears why she and her husband got divorced. And I relived with her all the pain and all the misery that accompanied that. Others had different problems, and suddenly I found that America was so far away. And in a certain sense, I could speak heart to heart with young people who were young with me when we still had life before us, our expectations. One of them, however, caught me a little bit. He was telling me about his life, and then he said, "Do you remember what you wrote in my Bible when I became a member of the church in 1969? I smiled. I said, "My friend, if I wrote it last week, I'm not so sure that I will still remember." But then he reminded me, and that's when I selected this morning's reading from the Old Testament, that it was indeed the words in Proverbs 4, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." And then he told me the story, a sad story, that he had to go to war, part of the Bush War at the northern border of Namibia. And he recounted and relived terrible moments, moments that he would want to forget. And then under tears he said, "You know, in the darkest night, I opened my Bible and I was reminded of those words and those times. And I wonder if all of us could have a turn to speak this morning and just talk about where and how the Bible inspired us, saw us through the darkest night, and literally took us by the hand and helped us through." Let us read Proverbs 4, verses 20 through 27. "My child, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech, and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward, and your gaze be straight before you. Keep straight the path of your feet, and all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil." And then our New Testament reading, the Gospel according to Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. "And now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village, where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." And here ends our scripture reading. May it be that the reading and the contemplation of these words will somehow break through and touch and change all of us in a positive way. My friends, she was a very busy woman, and life just got too much of her. So finally, she decided to go and see her doctor, and she complained to him and said, "Doctor, I need your help." And he asked, "What's wrong?" She says, "Well, I have no physical pain, but I am run down, totally run down." And after a thorough examination, the doctor told her, "You know what? You're not run down. You are too wound up." That brought the question to my mind. That lady had stress, more than she could bear. And then the question, what is stress? And here is a simple, practical definition. Stress is the uncomfortable gap between how we would like our life to be and how it actually is. And if this gap is persistent, or even worse, growing, despite our efforts to reduce it, then our distress is particularly acute and can harm us greatly. Do you often hear yourself ask, "Tell me, where is all this going to end?" Well, then you are showing a stress symptom. Could be anxiety and fear. When you hear people say, "Nothing seems to work," then you recognize the symptoms of frustration and maybe even the onset of depression. If somebody angrily says, "Who is responsible for this situation?" often you can hear the stress symptom of anger in that voice. "How much more can I take?" someone asks. Do you recognize the anxiety in there? Or maybe the plea, will anybody just help me? Do you hear the loneliness, the anxiety? When someone says, "I feel helpless to stop this," do you hear the undertones of frustration and the onset of depression? And sadly, when someone says, "No one seems to care in this life anymore," do you hear the loneliness, the helplessness, the depression? A well-known psychologist, Robert Elliott, wrote a book on how to overcome stress. And what really caught my attention the first time was the challenging title of the book. It's actually the sort of thing that if you look at books and you see the different titles, one that makes you pause for a moment, because it's a question mark. Is it worth dying for? What is it worth dying for? That's what made me the first time think, wonder what he's talking about, and getting the book out and finally reading it. And he states in that book that all of us need to take a very hard look at ourselves, examine our lifestyle, think about our relations, and then ask ourselves exactly what are the things that are stressing us out. And he says, and if you've done a thorough self-examination, then you need to ask yourself the question, is this worth dying for? Because it's certainly going to kill you. And if the answer is yes, it's worth dying for, Eliot says, I hope he wasn't serious. In that case, just go ahead. But if your answer is no, there is still time. And there is time to do something about it. Now, we do know that we are not the first generation of people who are under lots of pressure, anxiety, and stress. There were people uptight and anxious in all times, and I believe all places in the world. Definitely also in the time of Jesus. In fact, in our gospel text, Jesus was speaking to a good friend. Yes, he didn't only have followers. Amongst them were also many friends. And on that occasion, he spoke to a good friend. Her name was Martha. And he literally told her, "Girl, you got to slow down. It's time for you to smell the flowers, so to speak." The Bible recorded it this way, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things, but there is need for only one thing." And if you think of the scene and you realize that you're reading this actually from the Bible, then you think about it, the one thing that Jesus was talking about was really more than one thing. It was really at that moment one person. And that person was at that moment sitting right across from her. And she heard the voice, "Martha, time for you to follow me." Now, people do have different ways of dealing with stress. I know how some people do it, and I can be honest with you, I don't like it. I think of sometimes how I utter my stress, and usually I find it necessary afterwards to get down on my knees and say, "God, you'll have to do something with me. I need your strength. I need your power." People have different ways of dealing with stress. What do you do when stress gets the better of you? Well, there was a certain wife who was determined to help her husband in this regard. So she decided that she would give her stressed out husband a cheerful welcome. At least that. Every time that he gets home from a trying day at the office. But one day it was more difficult than usual. She had to strain a little bit. So she thought and she thought, and when she saw him, she said, "Guess what, dear? Of our 5 children, 4 of them didn't break an arm today." Now, I read that many years ago, more people were asking, "How can I improve my life? And how can I get closer to God?" But nowadays, more and more people are asking, "How can I get through this day? If I can only live through this day, maybe tomorrow will be better. And at first thought, I thought, well, that's a little bit exaggerated. It cannot really be that bad. And thinking it over, I realized, but that's exactly what I've been hearing with different tones from so many people. How am I going to get through this very difficult day? And the more I listened, the more I heard it, the more I saw it. And oh, horror, till I discovered it in myself, that there comes times in my life when I also have to think and wonder how I'm going to make it through, and somehow send up a quiet SOS. So I am convinced that we all know what I'm talking about. Someone there said, this is the age of the half-read page. This is the age of the quick hash and the mad dash. This is the age of the bright night with the nerves tight and the plane hop with a brief stop. This is the age of the lamp tan in a short span. This is the age of the brain strain and the heart pain, the cat naps till the spring snaps, and the fun is done. We know that amongst the top killers of humankind are several stress-related diseases. Our lives have gotten more and more complicated. We are such busy people, aren't we? There are a few people in our church here who feel bad that they do not come to church as regularly as they did in the past. And recently I got this beautiful email to say how I long to be there, but I must be honest with you, Sunday mornings is the only time when I can really do my homework. Of course, I'm so busy during the week. And if I have a little time over, I have to catch up with my email, and that's what I'm doing right now. And I cannot say that I did not understand that. I know that she was not exaggerating, and I know that she longs to be here with us. But suddenly I wondered, dearest sister, is that the right remedy for being too busy? Is that the time to stay away from a place where you are surrounded by people who care, people like you, people who love, and people who come and who gather to seek the face of God and to listen to God's word and to somehow grasp some energy to see us through, to help us through, to strengthen us in the walk? Oh no. If you are too stressed out and too busy, don't use your Sunday mornings to sleep. Use them and come on up. Let us gather and let us seek God's face, because I believe with all my heart that our faith is still the answer. And our faith can and will keep us standing in difficult times. And it is when we are at our weakest that we mostly need to be surrounded and supported by people who care. Today we deal more with diseases of choice than with diseases of chance. They say that half of all our illnesses are preventable. We know what causes them, and we know how people can behave differently to prevent them. Martha, in the biblical story, was working feverishly. And as a matter of fact, Mary was also working feverishly, as much as her sister. However, the moment when Jesus arrived, apparently all of Mary's activity stopped. And she sat down with him, and she visited with him, and most of all, she listened to him. But in our story, Martha is too busy at that time. She's still busy in the kitchen. And you can just imagine, you can see the scene. When is that girl going to get in here and help me to finish up? The Lord is already here. Where is she? She huffs and she puffs. And we can just imagine, and some of us can speak of experience, the pots, the pans, and the slamming of doors get louder and louder, and you know, she's huffing again. And that does not work in this instance. Therefore, there came a moment when Martha could not stand it anymore. And just imagine, she bursts into the living room. I imagine her hands is on her hips. Her face is flushed with anger. And she blurts out these words. But listen, she's not speaking to her sister. This time, she's speaking to Jesus. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. Whoa. Now she's mad at Jesus. Whoa. Bible says that Jesus responded, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good portion, which shall not be taken away from her. What choice did she make? Mary knew about what had to be done, but she chose the presence of Jesus at that time. Reminded me of a woman who was carrying a heavy suitcase for a long distance till she finally came to the bus stop with her suitcase. And there she catched a crowded bus. So when she was safely aboard, the conductor noticed that this woman stood in the aisle, but she was still clinging to her suitcase. So he went over and he said to her, lady, you can put your suitcase down now. The bus will carry it for you. You know, that's really the sermon this morning. Brother, sister, man, gal, you can put your suitcase down now. The bus will carry it for you. Because that's exactly what Mary did. She chose to come into the presence of Jesus. Mary knew exactly the moment when it was time to stop the huffing and puffing of her life and when to seek solace in the presence of the Lord. And I'm saying nothing against Martha. I'm only saying that Mary understood what difference Jesus could make. And that day he did not disappoint her. Actually, during their entire friendship, he never did. Not even once. That's why we sing for one another, have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to our God in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to our God in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden? Burdened with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to our God in prayer. And do your friends despise, forsake you? take it to our God in prayer. Jesus' arms will take and shield you. You will find a solace there. Do you remember, like I do, the Lone Ranger films of long ago? Yes, I was in a different country, but America's influence, even in those days, stretched across the earth. And there in Africa, you did it as children right here in America, but there in Africa, I learned about the Lone Ranger, and I got to know Tonto, and that he often referred to the Lone Ranger with admiration and affection, and that he used a word, and that was the first time I heard the word. I never understood it. Now I do. Kimusabe. Kimusabe. And I now know that in his Indian language, it means faithful friend. Faithful friend. That's what we all need. That's what we cannot do without. We do need a Kimusabe, a faithful friend, one who would stand by us in all life's fluctuations. And even if that fluctuation means going into the silent valley of death, even then the assurance, I fear no evil, because even then you are with me. Now, at times it's easy to find justification and excuses to live and to go on living under stress. It's easy to complain the ears of others about how terrible our times are. And oh yes, all of us know how, and we can easily ruin someone else's day by spreading our own version of how terrible the world and our pains and our problems are. The message of our faith, the message is that life can and should be worth living, because at the heart of our faith provides a Kimusabe for all of us, not only for certain days, but for all days, all the days of our lives. And Dr. Elliot, who posed the question, is it worth dying for, finally concludes that no matter what, your and my lives are worth living. No matter what the provocation or the incentive, you do not have to kill yourself to deal with it. It is not worth dying for. Martha, Martha, oh, put your own name in there. You are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good portion which shall not be taken away from her. Mary has chosen to be in the presence of her Savior, of her Lord. Are you under stress? Listen. Listen and live. Your faith can make you whole. Your faith can make you whole again. Oh God, let it be. Let it be. Amen.